It's Fire Away Friday. Fire Away Friday. On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can also email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploringtheword. Exploring the Word. It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
The first Fire Away Friday of 2025. We want you to be part of this program. And you do that by calling 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Bert Harper and Alex McFarland here. And we are just anxious to kick off the 2025 season of Fire Away Friday. And Alex, it's always exciting on Friday, but I have to admit, it being the first Fire Away Friday of the year, there's a little extra energy in my life.
Amen. Well, it's good to be with you, Bert, and good to have everybody listening. This is the American Family Radio Network, and the show is Exploring the Word, where for well over a decade we've been, well, exploring the Word. And the number, if you've got a Bible question, the number toll-free nationwide, it's 888-589-8840. We would love to hear from you. And Bert, you know, yesterday you and I read through Psalm 67, and that was really special. And I've just, last night I was reading it again, and just so many great verses, and it talks about God's salvation and God's blessing and how we trust in Him. So it's only seven verses. It's a very short psalm, but maybe you might want to read Psalm 67 again, folks. I know it'll be a blessing to you. But we also have a Facebook page, and Brent Austin would be reprimanding me if I didn't mention that we have a growing Facebook presence. And like us, if you would, on Facebook. The program is streamed live, and tell your friends about it. Now, Monday, good Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise. That's what we say down south. We're going to start a new book, aren't we, Bert?
We are, and it is the book of Ephesians. Next to Romans, in my estimation, theologically, it's right in step with Romans, because the theology is there, but yet the practicality is there, and I think people will really enjoy it. So get ready for Ephesians. We last did it in 2015, and you, Alex, wow. We didn't go through Psalm 1 all the way through Psalm 150. What we've done with Psalms is when we had a day that we didn't know, you know, like yesterday, it was in between day. We got through with New Year's Day, and Monday we're going to start Ephesians, so we said, let's do a psalm. So we've done those. Isaiah chapters we've done that way, but all the other books of the Bible we've gone through looking at it verse by verse and chapter by chapter, and so we're going back to the book of Ephesians, and I really am looking forward to it. I love Ephesians. I look through my sermon files, and I want to tell you, my file on Ephesians is pretty thick. Because just about every verse, there's a promise, there's a principle to look at, and so we're looking forward to it.
One of the very first memory verses I ever learned, ever, and this was in a summer vacation Bible school when I was, I don't know, maybe 11 or 12, and it really would be a decade before I would know what it was to know Jesus and follow the Lord. But I bet you can guess it was from Ephesians chapter 2, one of the first memory verses I ever learned from Ephesians, and we'll go over it. But could you guess what that verse might have been?
Are you saved by grace through faith?
Yes. and not of works, lest any man should boast.
What a verse that is. And but then in verse 10, for we are his workmanship. And when I found out what that workmanship is, it's like a masterpiece on a canvas. And so, man, let's take our Christian walk with the Lord seriously, and let's follow him, do his way. And I want to tell you, so when we come to the end of our lives and we enter him, he can say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's the words I want to hear when I appear before him. Well, Alex, we've got people that are online. You got something. But by the way, hey, we got lines that are open. We just got two people that's called in with questions. So we've got room for more. 888-589-8840. Alex, before we go to the phones, you had something you wanted to add. I know.
I just want to encourage everybody to be in church. It's the new year, and I'm not a huge fan of New Year's resolutions, but there is kind of a, you know, something about starting fresh. And make this the year that you and your family are in church every Sunday. I mean, really. And so be a churchgoer this year. The other thing is, if you read the Bible in its entirety, in 24, a year ago, we were encouraging people, and we've got a certificate. And I mean, it is a beautiful Exploring the Word certificate. Tim Wildman encouraged us to make this. So if you did read the Bible and its honor system, Bert and I are going to sign it, and Tim Wildman will sign it. And then I want to get these mailed out this month. But email us word@afr.net. And please give us your full name and your complete address and zip code. And if you took up our challenge and read the Bible completely in 24, we'll mail you a certificate. And maybe if you didn't, well, do it in 25. And we often say this, read 3 chapters a day, 5 on Sunday, take you about 20 minutes, very user-friendly, but you can read the Bible in its entirety this year, and we would encourage you to do that.
Hey, I'll put my name on that list. And let me just say, if you did it in 24, join me in doing it again in 2025. And listen, it was, I have to admit, I got through early. I got through, and I was enjoying it so much. I was using the Focus on the Family Read Through the Bible plan, and you would read some from the Old Testament, some from the New Testament, a psalm, and a proverb or two every day. And it enriched my life reading it that way. It really did. So anyway, well, Alex, we've got people that have called in. Is it all right if I run the phone lines today and get our people
Please
started?
Do. Absolutely.
Oh, okay, let's go to Mississippi and go to Aaron. Aaron, thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. I enjoy listening to y'all's show. I'm going to cut right to it. In the Bible, I forget how it's worded. Don't even know where it's at. So that tells you I just don't do what I should do as far as reading it. But it says that, basically it says that the way is narrow for somebody to enter into heaven. But it also says that all we have to do to be saved and to spend eternity with Jesus is to believe that he sacrificed himself for our sins. So I was wondering just for myself how to really decipher that and how to really read into it if that's what I need to do or whatever.
Thank you, Aaron, for calling. Hey, what part of Mississippi are you from, Aaron?
Well, I'm around your area, I think, around the Eggville-Auburn community.
Oh, man, yeah. Hey, you're at home folk here, Aaron. Well, listen, the narrow way, the way is correct, but the entryway is narrow. It really is. And you follow Jesus's way, and it is a narrow way. In other words, there's no other way. The rest of that goes, and wide is the way that leads to destruction. And many will find in. There's another scripture that says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So the narrow way is talking about Jesus, and I understand that. Alex, what would you add to that?
Well, that's in Matthew 7:13-14. Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate," verse 14 in Matthew 7, "narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it." You know, G.K. Chesterton, that we quote sometimes, he said there's countless ways to be lost, but there's one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus. And, sir, if you haven't done that, and I would suspect, I don't know, but many people have prayed and they're just not sure. Let me say this about 25 as well. Make this the year. In fact, I would say make today the day that you have a know-so salvation, not just a hope-so. And you can know that you have the promise of God that if you put your faith in Jesus. Now, what does that mean? You're admitting that you're a sinner. And you can, from your heart to God, you can pray this. You can say, "Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. I do believe Jesus is the Son of God. And Lord, I believe when he died on that cross, he did it for me. And Lord, I'm accepting you. So please wash my sin away and save me and help me to follow you. Now, Bert, you know, it's not so much the words or being eloquent or anything, but it's the sincerity of your heart. And people can do that right now. Is the caller still on right now with us? Sir, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Are you wanting to make sure of your salvation? I bet there's a lot of people that would like to pray as well. Do you feel like you need to just make for sure that you've accepted Christ? Or have you done that already?
Well, I guess I do need a surety because I did get saved, but it was like 10 or 11, and it was a family thing. And, I mean, I'm not saying it didn't take.
Yeah.
But I've also heard that if you go back and do it again, that it's just like nailing Jesus to the cross again. So, I mean, of course, it's like you said, it's all about the sincerity. And that's not something you'd want to do every single day because you'd get used to it, and it really wouldn't take good then, in my opinion. But I've been saved, but like I said, it's when I was real young, so I want to be sure.
Well, and you know, this is worth talking about, and I want you and I to pray together. I'm going to give you a verse, and I'm sure you believe what God says, that 1 John 5:13, if you believe on the name of the Son of God, then you may know, K-N-O-W. And so why don't you and I pray? And today is, what is today, Bert, January 2nd?
No, 3rd.
Is it the 3rd already?
Yeah, well, already.
I don't even know what day it is.
Yeah.
Here I'm trying to tell people how to get to heaven. It's January 3rd, 2025. Sir, I'm going to lead in a prayer, and sincerely from your heart to God, would you pray along with me? And I want us to bow our heads, folks. If you're driving, don't bow your head. Keep your eyes on the road. But if you're listening to us right now and you want to make sure, along with, what's your name, brother?
Aaron Smith.
Aaron, pray with me on this way, would you? Say, Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I admit that I'm a sinner. And I cannot save myself. But I believe Jesus died for me. And he rose from the dead to give me life. I turn from my sins. I put my faith in you. Please save me. Wash my sins away. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me to live for you. From this day forward. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Aaron, it's 4:17 East Coast time, January 3rd, 2025. And you were sincere, weren't you?
I was very sincere.
And the Lord Jesus promises, he says, the one who comes to me, I will not reject. And you did that. And Bert, I know there's a lot of other people that did that as well. Folks, if you prayed to accept Christ based on the authority of God's word, it's not Alex or Bert, although we certainly believe it. But God's word promises that if you call out to the Lord, you will be saved. That's Romans 10:13. Aaron, we love you, brother. Welcome to the family of God. Don't ever doubt it again.
Amen.
Bert, isn't this wonderful?
Thank you, sir. I love y'all, and I appreciate listening to you.
Aaron, thank you. Praise God. And if you prayed that prayer, there's angels in heaven praising God for what has happened in your life. We're going to be back with more and asking God to bless 2025 with many souls added to the family.
In him we were also chosen as God's own, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything by the counsel of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, would be for the praise of his glory. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12.
American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word, the American Family Radio Network. Exploring the Word's Fire Away Friday. We're taking questions for the whole hour. Welcome back. And Bert, Where should we go next?
Well, let's go to Louisiana, and it's Randy in Louisiana. Thank you, Randy, for calling.
Thank you all for taking my call. I enjoy Fire Away Friday and Trivia Friday.
Well, amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Hey, next Friday on Trivia Friday, the 10th, I'll be on Trivia. And so you get to listen to it on that as well. So, Randy, what part of Louisiana are you from, brother?
Just outside of Baton Rouge.
Okay.
Called Walker.
Okay. Well, we've been praying for the folks in New Orleans and all those families in Louisiana. And matter of fact, we're just thankful that you could call us. You got a question for us, brother?
Yes, sir. I read the Bible through back in 22. I used the chronological Bible, and I enjoyed that, but I'm reading it through again, reading the straight from Genesis through, and I've read it before, but I didn't realize it. There, God told Noah to take seven clean animals, seven of each clean animal, and only two of the unclean. I was wondering what the purpose for that was, if you all have any idea.
Alex, has it anything to do with diet or anything to do with sacrifice? What do you know?
Well, you know, I think about this, that the Lord told Noah, I mean, some of the animals they took on the ark would have been for sacrifice, and some of them would have been for food, and some were for neither consumption nor sacrifice, but it was to preserve every species. And would you believe, I had a man ask me this yesterday, a man skeptic, 81-year-old skeptic, so people pray for him, and his whole, the thing he was hung up on was why the ark, why the animals. And let me just say, there were, in scientific taxonomy, they call it phyla. And so, you know, it wouldn't be that Noah would have had to have taken all 126 breeds of dogs, but of the canine phyla, too, and of the equine phyla, too. So of the, you know, some of the species more to eat, some to sacrifice, but at least all species represented simply to preserve the natural world.
And I saw this, Randy, and I just want to call in and give a plug for the Ark Encounter.
Yes.
Matter of fact, I was checking. Mike Johnson from Louisiana has just been reelected Speaker of the House, and just a godly man. He represented the Ark Encounter in a suit against the city not giving him tourism finances, you know, that they deserve like any other business would.
Attraction.
Yeah, attraction. And Mike Johnson was the representative winning that case. And and I was just reading about it, and in his personal life, he said, first, I'm a Christian. Secondly, I'm evangelical. And thirdly, I'm a Southern Baptist, in that order. And so it just thrilled me. But he represented the Ark Encounter. And Randy, when I saw that about Noah's Ark, I just said, I'm going to give that a plug. So,
amen.
So Randy, I hope that helps. I think it was for those reasons, sacrifice, diet, and possibly others, so they would multiply quickly and go through it. By the way, that number is 888-589-8840. We got a lot of room for calls, but while we're waiting for those other calls, let's go to West Virginia and talk to Douglas. Douglas, thank you for calling.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen, Bert and Alex.
Well, thank you, brother. Well, I've got to keep on asking what part of West Virginia you're from, brother.
You asked me this the last time when it was on Trivia Friday. I'm in Elkins, West Virginia. Right now, it's a blizzard.
Okay. Hey, yes.
Oh, boy.
We do need to pray. This vortex, this Arctic vortex, it's coming down, and it's going to be three in a row, Alex, and it's really bringing some frigid weather.
Yeah, I mean, it is windy, cold. I mean, I'm sitting here watching it come down. I just sit here and I just pray. I said, Lord, you're in control. So we need the cold weather here to kill bacteria.
Okay, well, we trust the Lord no matter what. Hey, Douglas, you got a comment or question for us, brother? Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, I like Ephesians, too, because I didn't understand it in the beginning when I became a Christian. When my daughter...
I don't know what's happening, Douglas, but you're breaking up. Try it again.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead now. We got you clear then. Go ahead.
Okay, I didn't understand Ephesians until after I became a Christian. When my daughter got killed in front of my house after she got off the school bus, she was 11 years old. After 2 weeks, I couldn't take it anymore. I fell to my knees and asked God, if you are who you say you are, I need you to come to me now. And he did.
Amen.
And when I accepted him into my heart and I started reading the Bible, everything came so clear to me.
Yes.
And I found out that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. But the real worst enemy is yourself, the mind.
Yeah.
And I've learned to come to rebuke the thoughts that come into your mind and harness them and get rid of them automatically. Don't even give them time to rest. And then, which is a great book to me because, you know, we're fighting the devil 24/7.
Amen, Douglas.
And so when we stay in the Word, we meditate on the Word, and we can constantly speak the Word out to ourselves, we're feeding ourselves.
Amen.
The other question that I have is about Samson. He was a Nazarite, and there were three laws that they're not allowed to do. One is alcohol. The other one is not to touch anything dead. And the third one is not to cut his hair. So out of those three sins that he has committed, which led him into captivity by the Philistines, but God found favor in his sight because he prayed for it. So I think I heard it from Jeff Shreves or maybe Alex McFarland when in a sermon about there's consequences of sin. Even though we're a Christian, there's still consequences. So in relation to all that, you are right about Noah and the ark and the animals. I mean, that's my interpretation because God had to replenish the earth, so he's in total control. So that's basically about it. Also, Bert.
Hey, can I jump in?
Yeah, let's talk about Samson a minute, Douglas, because he's a party, and I'm just going to use our vernacular, Alex, and then you take it away. He seemed to be a party animal, quote, is what they'd call him today. And it would be hard to believe that alcohol was not a part of that. And we know he broke the one concerning dead animal because of the lion. But was it like the straw that broke the camel's back concerning his hair?
Well, yeah, and you know, this is in Numbers chapter 6. It's very interesting how, and the word Nazir, N-A-Z-I-R, it really is to mean separated or consecrated. Now, what's interesting is, and of course, the Nazirite vow was that he would not drink alcohol and he would not cut his hair, not touch a dead animal, dead thing. Bert, I believe in Christianity, we have something like being a Nazirite. Now, Jesus was a Nazarene. That's an area, Nazareth. But the Nazirite vow, Nazir, to be separate, Bert, we call it sanctification.
Yeah.
You know? And I think about things like in 1 Corinthians 6:11, that we are sanctified. And what's interesting, there's sanctification, our standing before God, but then there's sanctification, our walk daily. See, 1 Corinthians 6:11 says that we are sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, but we are also to be like a Nazirite in the sense of sanctified in our daily walk. And like so much, Bert, the lambs, the wilderness tabernacle, there are Old Testament realities that come to full flower and fruition in New Testament, the New Covenant. Would you agree?
I would agree, too. And let me just say something about a vow. Paul, in the New Testament, took a vow that he would do certain things before, you know, until he got to Jerusalem to take the love offering. So even in our sanctification, which is a life, you know, like you said, Alex, representative the Nazarite vow for life, there's periods of time which it could be fasting. It could be something during a period of time. But these vows are important to set yourself apart. And notice what God did on his calendar. I'm not talking about our calendar, but his calendar. He had certain days set apart that the people of Israel would come apart from their regular routine, and they would do certain things, pray, camp outside. And so what these vows do for those that take a temporary vow, even today, it sets you out of the customary to look to you and concentrate on what God is doing. So, yes, Samson, he was a Nazarite for life. Alex was, as far as in the Bible, Samuel and John the Baptist were the other two. Am I right about that?
I think you are right about that. Yeah, I forgot about that, but John the Baptist would have been under a Nazarite vow, wouldn't he?
He really would have. Hey, Douglas, thank you, brother. We appreciate the testimony that you gave, and keep listening and keep serving the Lord. Let's go to Illinois and talk to Don. Don, thank you for calling.
Hello. Thank you so much for all you guys do. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, man.
I got a question here. In our church, a prayer was said, embrace the diversity of thought and identity. And I think this is kind of referring to the DEI. And I don't know a lot about the DEI, so could you comment on that?
Okay, Alex, this is more in your area than mine, but I've done enough to know. Listen, when it comes to God, God is the one that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It doesn't have to do with diversity there, does it? But he did say, whosoever will may come. Diverse in who may come to Christ, but exclusive in how you come. Now, DEI doesn't have anything to do with that, if that's what they're referring to, does it, Alex?
Well, let me say this. Diversity is one of the lies of our time, you know? And diversity, we hear, I mean, we're beaten over the head with it, and it presupposes that there is no absolute truth. Now, folks, there was a philosophy professor at Duke University who was a good conservative guy. His name was Stanley Hauerwas. And I don't know if he's still living, but several years ago he was on NPR. And I mean, this is, you know, some years ago, and he was being critical of DEI, and rightly so. Now listen, this is a great quote. Stanley Hauerwas, a brilliant thinker, he said, diversity is a disease in the minds of the terminally mediocre. Now here's the thing. If somebody in a church service prayed to bless diversity, I mean, if they were meaning that in the sense of there are many roads to get to heaven, many ways to be married, LGBTQ, woke, progressive, believe anything, it's all true, it doesn't matter. I don't know that I could have stayed silent. Because here's the thing, folks. We have got to accept what the Bible says. Almighty God has given us his word. And I want to say this, folks. If you're in a church where they're preaching diversity and pluralism and, oh, we all have our opinions and they're all equally valid, you don't want to be in that kind of church. Because the only man that ever rose from the dead, the Lord Jesus, said there's one way to heaven, and that's through the new birth. And our first call today was Matthew 7, 13, 14, the broad road. Bert, there's a plethora of human opinions, but there's one revelation of God. It is Jesus and his word. And I just tremble for these woke churches that are preaching diversity, because it is absolutely jeopardizing the souls of people.
It really is. And it's already doing damage, not just church. It's doing damage to businesses. It's doing damage to the military again and again. You see it across the board. And so it is that way. Let me just share. We'll go to the next callers in the next segment. We won't have time this one. It is the battle of identity, physical identity, or I'd call it natural, who we made, male and female. What are you? You're one, and the Satan is always throwing in confusion, and that's exactly. And then there is that identity, who I am in redemption. I'm a child of God following him. And so, Alex, in all of this, the whole idea, you better know who you are in creation. You need to know who you are in Christ. When you have those two things nailed down, you're ready to grow. You're ready to do what God would have you to do. So you start there with who you are in creation. God is made, male and female. Who we are in redemption. Have you been redeemed? Like Aaron prayed to receive Christ in the first segment. Have you know that your identity is in Christ and in Christ alone, and there's no other way? Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go in. There's only one way that leads to Christ, and we're asking you to trust him. And if you need help with that, you can call and ask the Lord to help you. But there's a number you can call, 888-NEED-HIM, 888-NEED-HIM, and they'll pray with you, they'll talk with you, they'll help you with those verses so you can know the truth of your identity in Christ. Well, we're going to come back and take calls in the next segment. We can't wait to get to them. That number, 888-589-8840.
I can't count the times I've called your name some broken night. And you showed up and patched me up like you do every time. I get amnesia. I forget that you keep coming around.
Yeah. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. God does show up. He really is. There's this song, Alex, that came out years ago. I forgot the guy who wrote it, his name, but he was there all the time. And that is God. He is there, and you need to know him and recognize him and trust him. And he wants to invade your life for good. If you'll invite him, he will. Well, Alex, let's go to the phone lines. By the way, we've got some callers, but I think we got room for one or two more if you make that call with your Bible question, 888-589-8840. Give us a call. Well, let's go to Don in Illinois. Don, thank you for calling. Okay, no, he's gone. It's Tim in Oregon. Let's go. No, Tim in Ohio. Tim, thank you for calling.
You better get Ohio right. They just beat Oregon. All right.
Hey.
Good one.
I'm sorry I made that, but both of you start with a no. But anyway, thank you, Tim. Yeah. Well, thank you for calling.
First of all, I'm a longtime caller. Aaron from Mississippi, I was praying with you when Aaron was praying with you. And when Aaron's voice cracked, my voice cracked. Aaron, I hope you know that was the Holy Spirit penetrating your heart.
Amen.
The other thing, you just played Crowder, Good God Almighty. I'm part of a prayer group, and every time that song comes on the radio, it's our reminder to pray for people in need. So that would be kind of cool if people kind of caught on to that. But my question is, I'm a high school teacher, and kids come to me frequently with questions. What's an easy go-to chapter or verse that you guys like to help kids begin the understanding of what's going on in their spiritual life?
Alex, you answer that first. You do these summer camps, and so with youth, how many did you do this past summer?
We had 7 camps. Well, we put on 7, and then I spoke at 2 others for a total of well over 1,200 students.
Okay.
And we're doing it this summer, too. By the way, our summer Biblical Worldview camps for middle school and high schoolers is equipretreat.org, equipretreat.org. But, let me just say this. Whenever we see someone come to Christ and they're brand new to what it means to believe in Jesus and follow the Lord, I encourage them in a few ways. Bert, I encourage them to maybe read the Gospel of Mark. And the first 4 books in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are 4 biographies of Jesus. The Gospel of Mark is 16 chapters. It's pretty easy and user-friendly. Or maybe the Gospel of John. Bert, I also like to encourage young people to read Philippians. And I know Philippians, and you and I did that book last year, but there's a lot in there about joy. When it comes to the Christian life and, rejoicing in the Lord, overcoming struggles. I mean, the Apostle Paul, so much, Philippians, Colossians, Romans chapter 7, you know, Romans 7 especially. But let me encourage, I'll put it this way, and I'll throw it back to you, Bert. In, you know, babies being born, there's an obstetrician and a pediatrician. An obstetrician delivers a baby. A pediatrician helps raise the baby. And evangelism and discipleship, in a way, is a little bit like that. Evangelism is like obstetrics. The child is born. Pediatrics is like the child must be raised. And Bert, I think everybody that accepts Christ, I know this was vital in my own life, should be in a discipleship group, you know? Just like you wouldn't see a newborn baby who's moments old, you wouldn't set them on the street and say, okay, good, have a good life. No, a newborn, even though they're alive, but they have to be nurtured. And I think it's that way in a newborn, brand new Christian as well. Would you agree?
I agree fully, and those are great books. Mark, being short, and it's an action book as well. Tim, if you'll find them, I'm always looking for repeated words. If you listen to this program, you know I'm looking for those. The word, at least in like most of them, and that might use the equivalent in some of the translation, is immediately. Mark just gets right to the point, and he'll say this, and immediately this happened, and it is a then this happened. Mark, more than even Matthew or Luke, is an action book. It's the gospel of action. In the first 8 chapters, you'll find out all that Jesus did. It's like, bam, he raised the dead, and then he healed the sick. He caused the blind to see. And then in chapter 8, right in the middle of it, Tim, Jesus is there, and that's when he asked Peter, who do men say that I am? And then he says, who do you say that I am? And it was revealed to him, and it says that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in Matthew, he adds that, says, listen, observation lets you know something, but revelation will carry the rest of the way. The book of Mark does that in a great way. The book of John is good because it has 11 different discussions between Jesus, and sometimes it's one individual, sometimes it's two or three or a group, but 11 different discussions and conversations that Jesus has concerning who he is and what he's doing. And so either one of those are good. And Alex, I agree with you about Philippians. Matter of fact, when I was in college at Blue Mountain, it's now Christian University, we had to choose a book that we would study and do a report on and survey of the New Testament, and I chose Philippians, and it has been one of my favorite books because there's no greater book in the Bible to tell us in chapter 2 about what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so, Tim, thank you for doing that as a teacher. And praise the Lord that these students can come to you and ask you that, and you can refer to them. Let me give you one other thing. Alex McFarland has a lot of books, and some of those books are geared toward young people. Alex, give one or two of those so Tim might know that as well.
Well, and we just got a new batch in from the publisher, Stand, S-T-A-N-D, Stand, Core Truth, You Must Know for an Unshakable Faith. It's been put in a few languages. It's written at a seventh grade level, but for a kind of a Christianity 101, and I wrote it for teenagers, Stand, Core Truth for an Unshakable Faith. And I tell you, if you want that book, my own website, which is alexmcfarland.com, or you can email info at alexmcfarland.com. We've had a lot of churches that go through it like on Wednesday night or something like that. Bert, I got to say, I give God the glory. Listen to this. Somebody emailed me a photo 2 days ago from Barnes & Noble. Our book is in there. And then I went to the Barnes & Noble in Greensboro, North Carolina. 100 Bible Questions and Answers for Families by Bert Harper and Alex McFarland. I give God the glory that, you know, Barnes & Noble, a national chain, and praise Jesus, we get to teach the Word on AFR Radio. And that book that the listeners, folks, you provided those questions, and now that book is all across America. And we've got another one coming out September 1st. But the Word of God is going out. And by the way, one last thing, Bert. They say since COVID, since 2021, Bible sales in America are up 41%.
That is amazing. Let me ask you, tell you this. My wife was in Ollie's. That's a national store.
Store, yeah.
And they have a book section, and she was going there, and she saw that book on the rack in Ollie's as well, 100 Bible Questions and Answers for Families. And so we thank God for our listeners that have had these questions. Alex, I want to talk the rest of the time, if you don't mind, about revival. You and I have talked about, I think this is an appropriate time, the first Friday of 2025, and I'm going to ask you one or two questions, okay?
Yes, sir.
Is revival possible in America?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, the Spirit of God is moving. And let me just say for the church, you know, we often think of revival as an evangelistic thing, but really revival is for believers, isn't it? Bert, you said something one time, and I laughed. It was perfect. You said you can't be revived until first you've been vived.
Yeah,
you remember saying
that? I do. I don't know where I heard that. Hey, I can repeat a lot of things and not remember where I heard it, but I love that. And it is true, Alex. There's got to. I know vive has the idea of life. Life.
Yeah, it's the Latin word for life.
Yeah, there's got to be life. And this is the new life. It's in Christ alone. There is no other way. We was talking about reading John. Man, you take those L words, light, life, and love. If you took that out of the Gospel of John, you'd have a lot of it eliminated, wouldn't you?
That's true. You know, very often, and folks, let me encourage you, in your own personal heart, in your marriage, in your family, and certainly in your church, pray for revival. And the word revival, it means, quote, a return to the things that bring life. Now, what are some of the characteristics? When the Spirit of God is moving and the people of God get a fresh dose of that living water, I've heard it said revival is falling in love with Jesus all over again. But there's got to be prayer. And then there's repentance of sin. And then there's evangelistic urgency. And when the church gets enlivened, there's concern for unsaved people. But then, always, Bert, whether it be under, you know, Luther in the Reformation or the Great Awakenings under Jonathan Edwards, or, you know, even in the 20th century, I think the Billy Graham's work, the 50s through the 80s, and then the Jesus movement. But when there's a move of the Holy Spirit of God, there is a return to the authority of Scripture. So prayer, repentance, evangelistic urgency, and the living under the Word of God. And folks, there was a man named Dr. Stephen Olford. Do you remember him, Bert?
Oh, yes, and I got to hear him preach two or three times. Awesome,
yeah, exactly.
Awesome preacher.
Phenomenal man of God.
Yes, he was.
But he said we are to seek revival like we would seek our next breath of oxygen. And so, folks, I know we're throwing a lot out here about 2025, but make this the year that you pray for and believe God for a spiritual awakening. And, it's, you know, we can say, oh, revive America, and we should, but it begins with revive me. Bert, I heard you tell a story once about a man that drew a circle and stood in that circle, I think it was. Do you recall that?
I do. It was Gypsy Smith. He was a traveling evangelist, and it was during what they call the Sawdust Trail. They would put up brush arbors similar to a tent, and it was during the season. Usually it was rural, and the crops were out, and they had some time to preach and come for protracted meetings, as they called them, and they'd put sawdust out so that if it rained, it wouldn't be muddy. And he would get up and he would say, stand up, take your right foot and make a half a circle. Now take your left foot and complete that circle. Stand inside that circle and pray, God, let revival begin inside this circle. And that was Gypsy Smith, a great, great preacher. I mean, when we look at the past in America and see the different movements of God, I want to just tell you, it is astonishing what God has done, and I believe it what God wants to do. And Alex, let me tell you this. I know you did the characteristics, and they were awesome. But they usually came at very difficult and hard times, like the Great Prayer Revival that swept across the northern tier of the United States in the 1850s, started with Jeremiah Lanfear. Slavery was an issue, and states' rights and struggles, like everything was going on. And that's when God poured out his spirit. Amen. And then in the first Great Awakening on the eastern frontier, the border there, it was that of just religion being dull and boring, nothing to it. They were going through rituals, nothing happening. But all of a sudden, the Spirit of God broke out in the north, Jonathan Edwards, in the south, John Wesley and others as they would preach, and then George Whitefield going back and forth and both. And just the Spirit of God came upon them at this strategic time right before the American Revolution. So God in his sovereignty, we can trust him. But our job is to do what this. And let me read this scripture. It's in Revelation chapter 2 when John was writing to the church at Ephesus. And we're going to start Ephesians. And we know two letters that was written to Ephesus, the one Paul wrote and this one that John wrote. He said this, "I have something against you," Jesus said. "You have left your first love. Therefore, what do you do? Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works." Alex, that is revival. We need to return to God in this renewal and let the Church of America have this fervor for reaching souls for Christ, don't we?
We do. We do. And folks, God is moving, just like the man that prayed to accept Christ. And everywhere I go, I'm meeting people that are spiritually hungry. And so, Bert, I really think that the Lord has given America an open window of opportunity. I want to encourage everybody, be in church somewhere on Sunday and be prayerful. And, you know, don't be afraid to just smile and tell people, you know, isn't God good? Every day is a gift. Aren't we thankful for the love of Jesus? I truly believe that people are hungry, ready, and best of all, God is ready to touch our nation. And Bert, that's going to be revival. I want to see one of these great awakenings in our lifetime. And I truly believe, I kid you not, I believe the winds of revival are beginning to blow.
And we're wanting AFR and especially Exploring the Word to be one of those areas and programs and ministries that God uses in spreading the good news of Christ and letting others know that they can be saved. So be praying, not only for revival, pray that we collectively, all the Exploring the Word family, all the way from the north and south, east and west, collectively pray, God, do a work and let it begin inside my circle that God would get the glory and honor. Well, be with us this coming Monday as we'll start the book of Ephesians. I believe you'll love it and enjoy it. So until then, tell someone about Exploring the Word, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.